you hear all the songs in life. And you kind of leave it. What happened in the right order? What I say, oh, holy night, holy forever, and then the... And then you may. Yeah, I must. Where's Cheryl? Is Cheryl still going to... Oh, there she comes, like NASCAR. You still having the kids up here, Cheryl? Okay. I'll move this right away when I do announcements, and I won't have to move it later. Good morning. That was pretty good. You responded pretty good with good morning that time. That was pretty good. You'll see we're a little short on some people this morning. My son is in Sherman speaking for the Menges while they're taking care of their son. So he's up there. And Anita's not feeling well, so she's not here, which... That slowly cuts down on everything, so then we have to kind of punt a lot more. So hang in there, and we'll see how well we do this morning. Okay? Announcements. Remember that the Sunday school offering at the end, the last Sunday of the month, goes to LEAD, L-E-A-D, Incorporated, for the Day Spring Farm that they do out in Zambia. And Zambia, of course, is in extreme famine. So that farm produces quite a bit for them to help out with. So you could remember them in your prayers, but also remember to give to that on the last Sunday. That's where it goes. Remember, we changed our Sunday school offering, so it's once a month at the end of the month. If you give in between, that's fine. It'll still end up in the end of the month offering. And all of that goes to whatever missionary we're doing that Sunday. Almost said Saturday. I'm totally confused, trust me. Okay, so you could pray for the Strine family. That's Greg and Jennifer and the kids are all sick. So they're not here. And so just letting you know that. So that means we have two deacons here today, and Travis is going to help me out some this morning as well. Next month, Josh preaches. He'll go back to Galatians, so you can prepare for that as he goes into Galatians, him and Greg will finish that up, and we'll start another series after that. Carol, cards and cookies, December 22nd at 6 o'clock. All of you get that in your heads. December 22nd, 6 o'clock, we sing carols, share cards with each other, and you bring cookies to eat or whatever dessert you prefer to bring and share with other people, and we'll be happy to help eat them. Don't forget to drop your Christmas cards in the box in the hall. That way they'll distribute them each week, and... That'll save you some on stamps. Okay? Any other announcements you can think of? I have something to read, but any other announcements you can think of right now? Okay, I have one to the church family from Chris D'Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Want to make sure I get the name right. She says, I cannot thank you enough for all the love and kindness you have shown my mom and our family. In these difficult times throughout our lives, you have always been a consistent source of love and compassion. My mom loved you, and I always will know that you are my family, and my wish is to take what I have received from all of you and be the servant that Christ has entrusted me to be. You will never know what an incredible impact you have made in our lives. In Christ, Chris. So that's from them. And if there's nothing else, we'll get started. Oh, there was one other thing. Ed and Brenda made epoxy stars. There's a box of them out there. You're welcome to them. There's even hooks there if you need them. You can hang them on your trees. There are some on the Christmas tree. I haven't even seen it yet. It's over here, I guess. I can't see it from here. So if you want to see some of them on the tree, you can. This is one of them. They're all different. They're all unique. So they're offering those to you. Enjoy them. Okay? That's the last thing I think I had. Okay, let's turn our hymn books to 102. Which one?
119.
Wow. Oh, that's right. 119. I'm on the second song already.
Gentle Mary, laid her child lowly in a manger. There he lay the undefiled to the world a stranger. Such a babe in such a place, can he be the Savior? Ask the saved of all the race who have found his angels sang above his birth, wise men sought and found him. Heaven's stars shone brightly forth, glory all around him. Shepherds saw the wondrous star, heard the angels singing. All the plains were lit that night, all the hills were ringing. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. He is still the undefiled, but no more a stranger. Son of God of humble birth, beautiful the story. Praise his name in all the earth. Hail the King of glory.
He doesn't have the scripture reading because I wasn't sure what I was reading until I got done with my study this morning. So you can turn in your Bibles, in the pews or your own Bible, to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And we're going to read from the first verse through the 14th. For now, 1 through 14. Isaiah 7, 1 through 14. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Zezhub. I have trouble with some of these, so hang in there. To meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah, Aram Ephraim and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, kind of reading that as background to the fact this is going to get quoted later in the New Testament as a fulfillment, but Ahaz was terrified that he was going to be overrun. And the Lord is trying to give him comfort through Isaiah, and he still challenged the Lord and refused to do what the Lord wanted to. And so the Lord had a reaction to that and gave him a sign. And that sign's one that you know well today, and we'll hear it in Matthew 1 today. Turn your hymnals to 102. Hymn number 102, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Tom was going to ask me to help sing, so I'm glad I got that one. Any praise or prayer requests for today? Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we'd like to pray for the people in our church that are feeling ill. Please be with them and their families as they're trying to overcome this, especially going into the Christmas season. Just help to hold them in your hands and take care of them. We also want to pray to put trust in you as you give us guidance when you put things in front of us. Please trust that you're working in our lives and you're guiding us on a daily basis. Please help us also to listen to Tom's message today and take it and put it in our lives and share it with the people around us so that we can spread your grace to them. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to do our worship songs now. We're going to start with one you know, so we'll all stand up and sing, "Oh, Holy Night." If you feel a little wobbly when you stand, then just stay seated, and that'll be fine.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. New and glorious morn, far
praise the Lord. We're going to do the song, Holy Forever.
You are lifted high, holy.
good singing. The last song will be Emmanuel, Hallowed Manger Ground. Probably you have guessed a little bit of why I read that Old Testament passage, but that's not the only portion I'm going to show you this morning. I have a couple others, and the main purpose for this is to show you the name Emmanuel, show you several prophecies in the Old Testament, one of them which is quoted in our passage today when we get into Matthew 1. And so I read that first one. That one gives you the one that's actually quoted in Matthew 1. Now I'm going to read you a few other passages, pieces of passages that kind of go along with this idea. Keep in mind, the big thing is here, the children of Israel are afraid. They're afraid they're going to be overrun. They haven't been living for the Lord. Their king is not one who's been living for the Lord. And so even the prophecy of one born of a virgin would have scared Ahaz anyway. But all these other nations getting together to try and overcome Jerusalem was terrifying to them. And he didn't feel like he had any strength. And Isaiah was trying to give him help. And he was stubborn about the help and wouldn't do what God asked him to do. So we're going to read another short passage which has the idea of Emmanuel in it several times. And I wanted to just show you that out of chapter 8. He's talking again. The Lord spoke to me again. We'll start chapter verse 5. The Lord spoke to me again because this people has rejected the gently flowing rivers of Shiloh and rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. It'll flow over all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of the land. Emmanuel, raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands, be prepared for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plan, but it will not stand. For God is with us. That's what the word Emmanuel means. God is with us. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Down in verse 13, it says, the Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy, because he just said, you guys have been afraid of all these nations. But the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place. For both Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble. Now, you've heard some of these statements in the New Testament, too. And they come from here. And a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare, and many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who reigns on Mount Zion. And then in chapter 9, verse 2, after talking about the fact there had been gloom in the country and even in Zebulun and Naphtali, now he would honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea. He says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. And then verse 6 and 7, this is one you'll hear in the New Testament as well. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. I took you those passages to kind of give you a glimpse of what people who understood the word would have known when Christ came. And keep in mind, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the learned people of Judah missed all these signs. There are only a few that caught it. It was the people who saw what was happening, the people who eventually catch on and realize this one called Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ they were looking for. And so when we get into Matthew, we see that, but here he's giving these things as encouragement to those who are living at that time, and certain things would happen that would allow them to be in their country a little longer, but it doesn't last forever because the people keep running from God. And now those prophecies begin coming true. And if you knew all these things, which many times we go back and we look at them, like as I look at them, and I think, well, how couldn't they get this? Why didn't they catch on? I mean, wouldn't you think they would see all the things I saw and see them coming true as Christ was born and recognize who he really was?
But they didn't. I'm not sure we would have done a lot better. They were used to their patterns, used to the way things were going, and they were not expecting him to arrive like this, as a babe in a manger, even though it's spelled out in the Old Testament. So when we came to Mary, Zachariah and Elizabeth as the forerunners for John the Baptist, and then Mary being willing to be what God wants her to be, we still have a problem. We have a husband who's not sure what to do with Mary. In the Old Testament, they had drawn up rules and regulations for somebody who wasn't what they're supposed to be. In other words, with Mary being pregnant, they would see her as someone who had had relationships outside of the marriage bond. And so they would have seen her as at fault. And Old Testament would allow him to divorce her. And so you're going to see that in this reading as well. And we're going to read that first, but I'm going to start a little bit further up in verse 10 of the genealogy, and then we'll read through the story of Joseph. So we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 16, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. And Jacob, this is a genealogy, so this is the end of the genealogy. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, lots of you know the stories, and so I try to bring out some things that maybe you don't catch. And I read those Old Testament passages so you would realize that these prophecies done 900 years ago or 700 years ago, some of them farther back than that, were fulfilled at the time of Christ's coming. They were prophecies that were to be fulfilled, that would happen. And if you knew the prophecies and understood them, you should catch what would come out of that. And that was what we recognize as the stories that we tell all the time. As we remember Christmas, we remember these stories. So today, as we look, I want you to get a glimpse of Joseph and what is going on at this time and what it would be like to be in his position. And I want you to kind of catch on to that and allow yourself to see that, just as you would see Mary. One of the things I didn't say last week that I should have said was, you have to understand, Mary was probably a teenager when this angel came to her. More likely 14, 15, 16 years of age. And Joseph would have been an older man than that. And so this 14 or 15 or 16-year-old said to the angel, "Yes, whatever the Lord wants from me, do unto me. That's a lot of faith for a teenager. That's a lot of faith. So don't give up on your teenagers. They could have great faith, just as she did. So as we dig into this, I want you to see what Joseph would have had to go through and what the end result is. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you for this morning and the way you work. I thank you for giving us your scripture to read and understand. And Lord, help us to profit from it, to grow out of it, to strengthen our faith, and help us to be stronger for you in so many ways that we might be able to give this story to others and tell those who are in need, because many in our world do not know Christ. Also, help us to see your sovereignness in all that takes place. Even in the Old Testament, in the middle of battle, the Lord still says, the Lord who is in control, the sovereign Lord, said this, and he will do it. This is true even today in our world. It's still the sovereign Lord who's in control. Help us to put our faith in you and not in the things of men. And we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. So, he says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. And he reminds you that Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. This was the relationship they expected to have. And it would have all went well if nothing changed in their relationship. But there was a major change. And the major change was Mary got pregnant. Now, we know from reading that it was not by a man, but by the work of the Spirit of God and the power of God, that she had a child. So there is no other being responsible for it but the power and ability of God. And so we know that, but Joseph doesn't know that. And so he's considering what he's going to do now that he knows she's pregnant. If you're in his place, to marry her would be to marry somebody that the world around you would scorn. Those Jews around you would not look highly upon it. And it would change everything for you. So there's this recognition that I need to take care of this in the way that we've been taught in the Old Testament. I need to take care of this. This is what they understood was the Old Testament. And the normal way to do that would be to get a writ of divorce, and she would be on her own, and you would be free. And so people would look fine on you. She would still be seen with scorn because she was divorced. And they would know it would be for sexual immorality. So imagine you. It's hard because a whole bunch of you aren't men. But imagine that you are the husband of this woman and you're living in a time when that would have been seen as scandalous, terrible. What would you do? What would you do if you knew that the way out would be to divorce this woman because she was pregnant before you had ever come together with her? If you knew that it was going to change everything about how you lived, what would you do? And that's why, as you look at Joseph, you have to look at this man as having this problem he has to resolve. Now, he was a kind man. And you see that in the fact that he says, Joseph has... her husband was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't want to take her in front of everybody and make an object lesson out of her. He wanted to do it quietly. That shows his kindness. he was unwilling to put it publicly out there. It'd be a quiet divorce, and people would maybe not even be aware of it. And maybe she could go elsewhere and have the child and then come back and be in a different position. But he was going to stay faithful to the law and do it quietly without disgracing her. That's a pretty kind man. Could have made a big issue out of it. I don't know if you see the way the world reacts to these things. People make issue over these things all the time. People blow up. Sometimes people get killed over it. You can go on and on. The world's not a kind place to live in. And especially if somebody does something that you wish they hadn't done or you're angry about, you can be pretty nasty. And yet here's a man who's faithful, quiet, wants to do a quiet divorce, faithful to the law, but very kind in his approach. Now that man, trying to figure this all out, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Boy, these angels get around, don't they? Now, before, each one of them met them alive and well. I mean, they were awake. Zacharias saw the angel awake in the temple. Mary saw the angel awake. Both of them have reactions, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Must happen differently in a dream. Because in this dream, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." So he doesn't warn him. He doesn't say, "Oh, don't get scared. It's okay. I'm not here to do anything to you." This is in a dream, and he's seeing this. It's as real as if he were awake, except he's not seeing the angel in person. He's seeing him in a dream. And the result of that is he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Break all the things that you've talked about all your life, all the things you know, all the things you've studied. Break away from that and don't be afraid to do it." You see, it's exactly the opposite of what he's been taught to do. And along comes an angel and says, "Don't do that. Don't go that direction. Go a different direction. I'm going to tell you why. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now, would that change your mind? If that happened in your relationship? Even if an angel came and told you, well, maybe if an angel came and told you, you might decide to do the right thing. You might decide to do exactly what God says. And that's what God's asking him to do, exactly what he says. Joseph is to be the other parent in this relationship, even though it's not his son. It is Mary's son, given by the Holy Spirit. He says, conceived in her by the Holy Spirit, she will give birth to a son. Now look at that. 9 months ahead, and Joseph already knows the sex of the child. I don't know, can they do that quick now? I don't think they can do that yet. Maybe someday they will. But I don't think they can do that yet. And yet, God told him, it will be a son. And I've given you a name. You are to give him the name Jesus. Now remember, we said a little bit about that last week. What does Jesus mean? Anybody remember? Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. And here, in a sense, maybe to get us to understand, he gives us a definition that's kind of complete. He says, because he will save his people from their sins. Jehovah is salvation. He's going to save his people from their sins. Now, we were reading back there with Ahaz, and
people were kind of steeped in their sins, weren't they? In fact, he was sending nations to discipline them, to wake them up. If you just respond to me, I'll do good by you. And they were not living where God wanted them to live. Well, things don't tend to get better if you keep living that way. Here, you have some people living for the Lord, and God gives them a child, and he says, he's going to save your people from their sins. That's a pretty exciting thing to be told in a dream, isn't it? Your son's going to be unique. He's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Jehovah who saves, and he's going to save your people from their sins. First time I heard the story about what Jesus did for me, and I don't know whether it was the same for you or not, but it was amazing to me. I knew where I was at in my sinful life, and most people didn't know how bad I was inside at that point. But to hear the story and to find out that he would save me, that I didn't have to stop at I would go to hell. I wasn't going to have to say, oh, I better eat, drink, and be merry now because tomorrow I perish. Because that's what I thought when I first heard the first half of the message I heard, because he was telling me what it meant to be lost. Then he preached the second half on how I could be saved and change all of that. Well, here you have an angel telling you your child's the one that's going to be responsible for that. Do you feel special yet? Do you feel like maybe this is really cool? You're going to have the Son of the Living God living in your house as a human being. If that doesn't get to you, you really aren't catching it. This is the God who you know and you know loves you, present in his house, coming through the birth, through Mary. And he says, take him. Go ahead and get married. Be the one who's the father of this child. Who parents, not a real father, would be parenting the child as much as you'd have to parent Christ. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. And then it's remind you in here, which means God with us. When Jesus came in Mary, was conceived and would come forth as a human son with all of the fullness of a Godhead. All the fullness of being God and yet being a child. He would grow up having not sinned, but lived a perfect life. Any of you try to live a perfect life? How long does it last? I make it till the first time my wife looks at me the wrong way. I'd be it. It's hard to live a perfect life. It doesn't come natural to us because we have a sin nature. Christ would come into the world without a sin nature. And he would not sin. He would live amongst us. He would be Emmanuel. That's what he's told in a dream. What's that do to your heart? If you were told that in a dream, your child will be God the Son in human flesh. He's going to live with you. How does that affect you? If he lived with you, how would that affect you? You know, I've often heard jokes about what it must have been like to be one of his siblings. Why can't you be more like Jesus? Jesus wouldn't do that. You know, it would have been impossible. It would have been hard to understand who Jesus really was. And yet he tells them, God with us. You're going to name him that. Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel. This fulfills the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7 that we read. When he tells Ahaz, ask me for any sign, and I'll do it. And he won't ask him. So he says, this is the sign. And he fulfills this sign. So, what did Joseph do when he woke up? He's gonna have to deal with having Jesus, God the Son, in his house. And he's going to take Mary on, who was already with child beforehand. But he's going to have Emmanuel in his house. How do you handle that? How do you even grasp fully what's going on? And it ought to bring awe and wonder to you to realize what he did. God brought forth his son as a human being through Mary. So, could have said Joseph woke up and ran as hard as he could away from this. Because it terrified him. Didn't say that. And we're all glad it didn't. Instead, he woke up and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, if you remember back in Isaiah, the passages I read, one of the statements that came up several times was the sovereign Lord said this and he will do it. It'll happen. If the sovereign Lord says it, it's gonna take place. And the word used with Mary was the sovereign Lord that would make this happen and it would take place. This angel of the Lord came from the sovereign Lord and told Joseph to take her. So ultimately, Joseph knew at that point, if this was from the Lord, the sovereign Lord, this was going to happen. This would be for real. So Joseph, he wakes up and does exactly what the angel commands him, and he takes Mary home as his wife. But to make sure everyone understands that he fulfilled prophecy, he didn't have any sexual relations with her, until she gave birth to a son. Until Jesus was born, they did not enjoy one another the way that couples would after getting married. Instead, they wait, and he gives birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Largely, what I wanted you to see in all of this was through the Old Testament, there's constantly an effort by God to give them comfort and direction and a way out of where they're at. By just following their God, by just being what he wants them to be, by them worshiping him, they would be able to reclaim their spot. God would bring them back, but they're stubborn. You're never stubborn about anything, are you? You always walk perfect with God. God doesn't have to convince you to do anything. You listen really well.
Most of us would be shaking our heads. No, that's not true. We'd like to listen really well, and sometimes we succeed, but God never quits on us. And that's really what's happening here. Here, maybe 700 years later, but God's fulfilling his promise. And Jesus Christ will live here, God with us. And today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he lives in you. He's here. He's accounted for. You have extra guidance and strength. All we need to do is keep looking at him and not at the world around us. In some of the passage I read, I didn't read that part of the passage in Isaiah, but in there it reads, and if you want to go back and see that, you can see it in chapter 8. It reads, here's what the world's doing, but don't you follow the way of the world. Don't follow that. Don't be afraid of those things. In fact, he says, there's all kinds of conspiracies out there. You ever hear that here? All kinds of conspiracies out there. Don't be afraid of them. I have the true story. You listen to my story and don't be afraid. I'm in control. If the Lord was in control in Ahaz's day, then is he in control today? Is he the one in control of this world? He is. That's who he is. He's the sovereign Lord, the controller of everybody who controls anything. If he wants to take a king down or a president or anything else, he can do it perfectly well. He has the ability. And in fact, he is the sovereign Lord. So you can look at the world and be afraid, or you can look at the great sovereign God and realize there's nothing to be afraid of. He's in control. One day, if you have questions still, when you meet the Lord, you can ask him your questions. I reckon when I see him, I'll probably lose quite a few of those questions suddenly, because I'll see who he is. For once in my existence, I'll see him as he is. I look forward to that day. But today, we need to look on the one who could bring his son forth in a human body, and who would one day die on a cross for us and rise again. What a thing to think about at Christmas time. What an amazing God. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, you are amazing in so many ways. It's hard for us to realize and even count them as we think about even our lives and the many blessings and gifts and miracles you do. Lord, just simply the miracle of bringing us to you is amazing to us because, Lord, frankly, I don't know why you bothered with me, but you did and you love me, and I'm grateful. I pray you'll help me this Christmas season to be even more aware of your sovereignty, of your love for me, of the amazing story of Christmas and all that that entails. Help us to be full of joy, excited, not looking at the world, free to give of ourselves to others. We'll praise you for the way you work. Help us to say yes to you in living for you. In Christ's name, amen. I don't remember the number. 106. My pianist does, though. It's a good thing she's here. 106. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's stand and sing this in closing.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinner sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Gracious Father, thank you for your word, for music we get to sing, to rejoice and sing praises to you. Help us to be encouraged, even as we leave during this time, knowing what the world's like, knowing all the things that seem to be things we could fear, but more than that, knowing the God who is in control. Help us, Lord, as you did Joseph and Mary, to live as you desire us to live, to say what you would want us to say. We'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
You know what?